A lot of people never wake up to the reality that it's so awful in sight of God that it took the precious, holy, righteous blood of the Son of God to fix them. It took blood. The shedding of innocent blood. Blood that was divine to save you, to help you, to cleanse you from your sins. A lot of people never face that reality. All but those that do. Because see, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And those that get their sins under the blood, they're forgiven. Their sins are blotted out. Amen? They experience the forgiveness of sin. There's only one way, one and only way, to get forgiveness, and that's through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Must come through the blood. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the fifth chapter of Mark, Mark chapter 5. I begin reading in verse 21 of the fifth chapter of Mark, and we'll read probably to the verse 36. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, he had just healed a man, or actually delivered a man from demonic possession. He had many demons in him, and he was set free. And actually, it kind of freaked the people out in the neighborhood, and they asked Jesus to leave. They didn't want him around because he was causing such an uproar, and so he had left, departed, got in the ship, went to the other side. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, said unto Jairus, Be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. There are several things that transpire in this chapter. I guess I could have read the entire chapter, but the things that took place in this chapter happened to people who were in hopeless situations. I mean, they were in circumstances that were impossible to fix. the demonic man earlier in the chapter. He was possessed of devils. Nobody could have helped him or healed him, but Jesus cast them out. This diseased woman, she had an issue of blood. She was in a helpless situation. All the physicians had given up on her, and yet Jesus brought healing to her life. The dead girl, if you read on the remaining part of this chapter, you'll find that Jesus raised her from the dead. She was in a hopeless situation, but found relief and healing and help in Jesus Christ. The demonic man, in most circumstances, he would have been sent away. The diseased lady, she would have been sent to the CCU, the ICU. She would have been turned over to hospice. She would have been turned over to terminally care clinic. And they would have gave her some relief until she died. And of course, the little girl, the 12-year-old girl that dies, she would have been taken to the cemetery. She would have been taken to the funeral home. But the demonic man, he found the great psychiatrist. And this woman who had the issue of blood, she found the great physician. This little girl that was dead, she found a great pediatrician, one who raised her from the dead. See, Jesus has power. He has healing. He has help. He has the ability to help in any and every situation and circumstance that we find ourselves in. Now, Jesus is on his way to the house of Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, and his daughter was ill, and of course, before the conclusion of our reading lesson, she had died. There's a parenthesis period, something that happens in the midst of him going to lay hands on this little girl and bring healing to her life. There was a woman that touched her. There are many parenthetical things that take place in our life. I was down at the CCU praying with Brother Stringer, and the lady across the hall, she came in. She said, "I heard you were a pastor. Would you come over and pray with my sister?" I went next door and began to pray for her sister. While I was praying, the phone rang. The sister went outside. The nephew had died while I was praying. I mean, there are many things that transpire. But listen, Jesus is able to take care of everybody's need. He's able to take care of all of them at the same time. And I guess every miracle that Jesus performed is a parenthetical. It's a parenthesis. Because Jesus came to go to the cross. That was his reason for coming into the world. But as Jesus was making his way to the cross, he stops along the way and he helps every person with every situation and every circumstance that they found themselves in. Jesus helped them. He brought healing. He brought help to the needs of humanity as he made his way to the cross. Now, I want to pause here because anybody and everybody who's read anything from the Word of God, anybody who's understands anything about the Holy Scriptures, they understand that the human race is in a terrible circumstance. They know that we have fallen in sin because of Adam. We know that all the circumstances, the bad circumstances, all the bad things, all the sorrows and all the sickness that is in the world, it's all the result of sin. We understand that not only that Adam plunged the whole human race into sin, but he plunged us to all these bad circumstances that we find ourselves in. All the sickness, all the sorrow, all the suffering, it's all because of sin. I'm glad Jesus came to do away with sin. And he also came to do away with our circumstance. I don't know if you've read the back of the book or not, but when we all get to heaven, there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more death. Amen. For all the former problems will have passed away. That's why Jesus came. And so we're plunged. The human race is plunged presently into sickness and sorrow and suffering and death and finally eternal hell. Listen, Jesus came to deliver us not only from our problems, but he came to deliver us from eternal ruins. He came to deliver us from hell. Listen, if you don't get saved by the grace of God, you will spend the endless eons of eternity in a lake of fire. But there's good news. Amen. Jesus came to bring relief. Actually, as you read through the scriptures, that's what the Bible is teaching us. You begin in the first chapter of the book of Mark, and it says, in the beginning is the good news. The good news, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. Actually, not only does Mark, but Matthew and Luke and John, all the gospel writers, they all wrote with the same purpose that is summed up in John chapter 20 and verse 31 that says that these things were written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have everlasting life. Yeah, that's why these things were written. That's why we read about these miracles that Jesus performed. So Jesus, in this one chapter, he has power over the devil. He has power over the demonic forces. He has power over disease. He has power over death. He raises Jairus' daughter because he has power. Listen, he not only can give life, but in him is life. Amen. And his life abundantly. Okay, so let's go back and let's look at some of these things that transpired. I want to begin by preaching to you this morning about a divine touch. Every person needs a divine touch. Charles, I believe it was by the providence of the Holy Ghost that you stood and testified this morning. Sure do. God knew what I was going to preach on. A divine touch. All of us need a divine touch. Let's look a little closer at these circumstances and situations. I want us, first of all, to notice, starting in verse 24, the horror she endured. This woman was suffering. Let's notice, first of all, her symptoms. She had a hemorrhage. She was losing blood. The result of that, from what I've discovered, is that she was... the terminology, the issue of blood, is that there was some part of her body in which she was just constantly bleeding. And there was blood that was flowing. Not only was this her symptoms, but notice the things that she was suffering. She had untold suffering. She had suffered many things of the physicians. Actually, the word plague that is used in this chapter, at other places in the King James, is translated to be whipped. She was just beaten down constantly, like being scourged. This thing had gone on in her life for 12 years. And the Bible says here that she had suffered much of the physicians. Now, the physicians of that day, they were quacks. I mean, they had all these superstitions. They did all kinds of crazy stuff. They would boil onions and mix it with wine and make you drink it for 7 days. I mean, they would dig 7 ditches and they would burn vines in it. And you have to sit in mud for like weeks and months on end. I mean, they were doing all kinds of crazy things. And the Bible says that she had grown worse because of this treatment. Listen, she had an incurable disease. No doctor, nobody of the medical profession, no hospital could help her nor heal her. She had suffering, much suffering. I first of all want us to note that there was not only physical suffering, but there was a social suffering. She was totally isolated. I don't know if you realize it or not, but in that day, a person among the Jews, a person who had this kind of disease, they were considered unclean according to Leviticus chapter 15. She was going through isolation. She was totally isolated. She was cut off from the rest of the world. She was cut off from her family. She was living on the fringes of society. She was probably begging scraps for food to eat. She was probably a beggar. She couldn't work. She couldn't be around anybody. She couldn't touch anybody. She was like the lepers and had to almost say, unclean, unclean, unclean. Nobody could be around her. She had no social life. There wasn't social media in that day. There was no Facebook or any of these things that she could stay connected with people. She was totally cut off and isolated. So there were social sufferings that she went through. There were physical sufferings. I believe there was emotional sufferings. I mean, she had had this thing for 12 years. Now, I've been around people that's been sick for long periods of time. People that had terminal illnesses. People that dealt with a sickness for long periods of time. And there's an emotional aspect of this. And not to and to imagine her going through the being separated. I mean, not being able to get married. And if she was married, she had to get a divorce. If she had kids, she couldn't be around her kids. She was cut off from everybody. She couldn't talk to her mom and dad or her aunts and uncles or her cousins. She was an outcast for 12 years. She not only had physical suffering. She not only had emotional suffering and social suffering. There was religious suffering. She couldn't even go to church. She couldn't go to a synagogue. She couldn't go into a temple. According to the Old Testament, she was unclean. Unclean. Now, those biblical teachings of the Old Testament was to teach us that ceremonial law that was given under the Old Testament. Those laws regarding a woman being unclean for 7 days, they were to teach us that sin defiles us. It was to teach us that sin separates us from God. All of those ceremonial rituals of the Old Testament that were implemented under the law of Moses, they were to point out the fact that we need a Savior, that our sins separate us from God, that sin defiles us, that sin causes us to be unclean, that sin causes us to be an outcast. But praise God, there's redemption in the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all of our iniquities. Puts us back into a relationship with God. So all these ceremonial laws, they were rooted in the truth or in the teaching that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. Not only did she experience religious, couldn't go to church, couldn't talk to a preacher, couldn't go to a priest, had no aid or help in the spiritual realm, it seems. She was cut off. She was considered unclean. She had been ceremonially unclean for 12 years. Not just 7 days, 12 long agonizing years. Notice also in this verse that she not only suffered emotional, physical, ceremonial, religious, but financial suffering. She had spent every penny she had. She's broke. Broke. The Bible says in this verse that she spent it all. She had spent all she had. She spent all she had on these quack doctors. She spent all she had to try to find a remedy. You know, this speaks to our society today. There's a lot of people there trying to find answers. They're trying to find cures. They're trying to fill the void in their heart. They're trying to find a remedy for their life. They're trying to find meaning to their life. And they're doing this and they're doing that. They're spending money right and left. They'll spend right into poverty to try to fill the void in their heart. Listen, if you want an answer for the void that's within you, the answer is Jesus. He's the only answer. And you can search high and low for an answer in this world. But the only answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the living God, and the truth of God's holy word. Yeah. All right. So we've noticed her symptoms and her suffering. Let's notice her sorrow. I think she was, the life was draining out of her. Month by month, day by day, hour by hour. I believe she was about to die. She was about to die from this disease. She was probably weak and pale and frail. Now, I've experienced, you know, my blood count getting off and stuff. Haven't you? I mean, just gone through little stuff like that. And some of us, you know, we go through that and we got to go to bed. I mean, we get a cold or sniffles, but I got to go to bed, you know. Sleep this thing off. I mean, we get weak. She was weak. Okay. she was suffering, and she had spent all she had trying to relieve herself of this issue of blood. You know, there's a lot of people that are going to self-help groups, a lot of people that are going, listen, to religious rhetoric to try to find health. They'll go to different counselors and they'll go to different groups to try to find relief. You know, a lot of people will go to church. They'll join a church or they'll talk to the preacher. But listen, if you never receive a divine touch from Jesus, you've not received your answer. You're still in misery. And they go through all these things trying to find the relief or the answer to their life and their situation. And they're still in the same mess they started in. It's because they've never touched the hem of His garment. You need a divine touch. All right. So, if you're here today and you've spent all, and your life is in a mess, I have the answer. Listen to what this woman did. Notice in verse 27, the hope that she embraced. The Bible says in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus. Aren't you glad you heard of Jesus? Listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. She heard a source. She heard of an answer. She heard of a remedy. She heard about Jesus. She heard about one who could help her. Now, I don't know who had told her about Jesus and his ability. Maybe it was the lepers that were healed in the first chapter of Mark. Maybe it was the demonic man on the other side of the lake. Maybe his fame has spread across the lake. I'm not sure who she heard it from, but she heard that Jesus is the answer. And people today need to hear that Jesus is the answer. Yeah. Oh, the blessings of his name. Aren't you glad you heard the sweet name of Jesus? The Bible says there's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Maybe she heard it from some poor soul that was also living on the fringes of society, that the answer is in Jesus. There are people down where Brother Brian works, down there at the mission, down in Nashville, that are hearing. They're hearing that the true answer for all the problems of this life, it's in Jesus. We got to tell them about Jesus. That's what this church has been commissioned to do, to go and preach about the things that Jesus can do to change people's lives. There was a hope that she embraced. She heard about Jesus. Not only was there the declaration she heard, but there was a determination that she held. I don't know if you realize it or not, but her pressing through the crowd and touching all them people and purposely trying to touch the Son of God. It meant that if she had been caught, there had been public humiliation. There could be ridicule, possibly even some kind of retribution. That mob or that crowd could have taken her and immediately stoned her for pressing through the crowd. I mean, these weren't desirable circumstances for her to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. But as we heard last Sunday, sometimes we need to press through the undesirable circumstances. And sinner friend, if you're here today and you're living in some undesirable circumstances, you need to press through them and you need to touch the hem of his garment. Yeah. Yeah. She had a determination. She had great courage to approach Jesus in this crowd. As she elbowed her way, she didn't feel like doing it. She wasn't physically able. She was probably weak in body. But she pressed through the crowd. And she, though she was ceremonially defiled, you know, there's a lot of people that think they're too bad to come to Jesus. They're being lied to by Satan. No matter what kind of sins you have committed, Jesus is accessible to you. And if you'll just press through your sin, you'll repent of your sin, and you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and reach out in faith and touch Him, He'll heal you. He'll help you. He'll forgive you of whatever transgression you've committed. Bible says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Amen. Yeah. You could pile up all of your sins and they may reach about this high. Jesus is that high. That's what that verse is teaching. Yeah. Yeah. His blood is much higher than your sins. So she had this horrible situation. There was this hope that she heard about. This hope in Jesus. She embraced that hope. She heard the declaration of the gospel. I contend people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's power in the gospel. Amen? That people need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about Jesus going to the cross, dying for their sins. They need to hear that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the only begotten Son of God. They need to hear that He is the way and that He's the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. People need to hear that they are under condemnation because of their sins and their transgressions, and that Jesus came to save them from those sins, and He went to the cross to do it. Yeah. And if they will repent of their sins and believe in His sacrificial atoning death, they'll experience life. They'll experience eternal life. You know why they'll experience eternal life? Because Jesus was taken down off that cross. He was laid in a borrowed tomb of Jared, Joseph, or Arimathea. And on the third day, He rose again. The Bible says that He ascended to glory after 40 days with the disciples. The Bible says that He sat down at the right hand of the Father. The Hebrew writer said in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, right about 11 or 12 verse, he said, we have now a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen. He's alive. And the Bible says you can still touch Him today. Yeah. She had a determination under the unfavorable conditions that she was in to get to Jesus. And there's people, a lot of people today, and you may be one of them. You've come into this church house. You've got some bad circumstances and situations going on in your life. I tell you, Jesus is the answer. If He had the power over demons, if He has power over any and all diseases, if He has power to raise the dead, He has the power to help you. Yeah. But you need to listen to the declaration of the gospel. You need to believe the gospel to be true. That Jesus can and will save you. You need to have some determination in what you've heard and press toward Him. In spite of the circumstances that you're in. She had a horrible thing that she was enduring, but there was a hope that she embraced and a healing that she experienced. Look there in verse 29. The Bible says, and straightway, she pressed through the crowd. She touched the very bottom of His garment. And immediately, she knew. I mean, it wasn't like she received antibiotics and it took 3 or 4 days. No. She went in ICU, then taken to her room and a week in the hospital. Got a friend down at Baptist. She's been in the hospital for 4 weeks. 4 weeks. With colon cancer. And he's getting better. It wasn't like that. I mean, she touched the hem of His garment and immediately, she was healed. She felt it in her body. Amen. She was no longer sick. She was no longer feverish. She was no longer pale. She was no longer weak. She was healed. Wow. Straightway, So the healing she experienced, it was powerful, wasn't it? It was powerful. Powerful. When she touched him, she received healing. She felt the change in her body. She knew she was a different woman. Not only that, but it was personal. Jesus felt it go out of him. Felt the virtue go out of him. Now, and says, who touched me? Now think about it. I mean, the disciples said, look, everybody's touching you. I mean, everybody's brushing up against you, Jesus. But this thing became personal. It was as though he was in this big crowd, but there's nobody but Jesus and this woman. I tell you, that's how it was when I got saved. This thing became personal between me and the Lord. I was calling on the Lord. I didn't care what was going on around me. I didn't care what songs they were singing. I didn't care what the congregation was doing. It was between me and Jesus. Amen. I was in a crowd when I got saved. And the bottom line, this thing was personal. Listen, I still believe that Jesus is a personal Savior. Amen. You know, there's thousands of hundreds of people, they've gone to church today, and they're brushing up against Jesus, just like there were probably hundreds that were brushing up against Jesus on that day. But only one woman got healed. Amen. Only one woman received a divine touch. Yeah. Think about that. Yeah. Hundreds of people brushing up against religion, but only a few are getting saved. Amen. Isn't that the truth? This thing became personal. Why was it so personal? Well, her touch was different than all the other touches. Her touch was different. There may have been other people that had diseases that were trying to get healed and touching Jesus, but why was hers different? Because she had faith. Faith! Jesus said, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that sycamore tree, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea. Or say to this mountain, be thou moved. I mean, obstacles in your life can be moved with the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. That's what Jesus said. Amen? I believe what Jesus said. You realize without faith it's impossible to please God? For those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The reason she left different is because she had faith. Faith. Not only was this touch personal. See, here's the thing, okay? Man can't touch deity. I mean, really, we can't touch God. I mean, Uzziah, remember they were moving the Ark of the Covenant? And they were doing it the wrong way. They had it on the back of a trailer. Uzziah reached out and touched it and immediately died. I mean, he just touched things that were just consecrated to God and died. See, that's the whole reason that Jesus became flesh, that we might touch God. Yeah. He took upon himself flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only way you can get to God is through the mediator, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I mean, a person can't even look at God and live. The only way we'll see God is through Christ. Amen. And see Him becoming flesh. As we read like Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, like we read in the first chapter of St. John, that teaches us that we have access to a holy and divine God, to the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. So, Jesus became a man so we could touch Him. And if you ever come to the place where you can summons the faith like this woman, and reach out and touch Him, you'll experience something like what she experienced. Amen. In your heart and in your life. He'll help you too. But you must exercise faith. So the healing she experienced, it was powerful. I mean, she was immediately made whole. It was personal. I mean, he said, where's the woman? You know, who touched me? She came in. I mean, she came in. She knew it was her. She knew that there was something that was going on personally between Christ and her. I mean, she laid aside all of her fears of persecution or even death and just came in confessing, it's me, Lord. I'm the one. Yeah, I'm the one that received the help. I'm the one that received the healing. But it was also profound. I mean, this thing changed her life. Notice in verse 34, Jesus said, daughter. I believe when you get saved, it changes your life. She became a child of God. Yeah, a child of God. It was profound what she experienced. And notice the word whole. You know, many times in the New Testament, the Greek word is translated saved. Saved. Delivered. Actually, I wrote down the meaning. It says to be rescued from all harm and danger. To be kept safe and sound. Daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Thy faith has saved you. Listen, if you never exercise faith, if you don't put faith in Jesus Christ, you'll never be whole. You must put faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith will save you. Go in peace, he says. Thy faith has made you whole. So, it really wasn't the touching the hem of his garment that healed her and saved her, but it was faith, wasn't it? Amen. Go in peace. Amen. Be whole of thy plague. Thy faith hath made you whole. You know, she got a whole lot more than what she bargained for, didn't she? Daughter? Yeah. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Yeah. Now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. She got a whole lot more than what she bargained for. She touched him and became a child of God. She not only discovered she's a child of God now, but she discovered she's got a home in heaven. You'll come to Jesus Christ. Those words of Jesus in the 14th chapter of John, they'll apply to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. You'll get a home in heaven secured for you. Amen. If you'll come to Jesus Christ. Not only that, but like we read in Romans chapter 8, around verse 17, where we become heirs to God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, you'll discover that there's power over the dominion of sin, like we read in Romans 6 and 14. You'll read and discover that all of this came without cost to you. It's free unto you. Like Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 and 1, come, all ye that thirst, come buy wine. Come receive without money and without price. Amen. And still as we read in Revelation 22 and 17, the spirit of the bride, what does it say? Come, let him that heareth. In other words, those that have heard the declaration of the gospel and experienced healing, help, and salvation, all that hear, let them say what? Let's try that again. Everybody that's been saved, tell them they can come. Let's try this again. All right, everybody that's a member of this church, the Bible says in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, the spirit of the bride says, and let him that heareth, or those people that are saved, that know there's deliverance in Jesus, let them say, come. Yeah. Come and do what? Take. Everybody say take. Take of the water of life freely. It's free, without charge, without price. Oh, if you just reach out, I mean, reach out and touch the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He'll help you today. Get a song, Aaron. He'll save you. He'll deliver you. No matter what kind of horrifying condition you're in, there's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. There's healing emotionally, spiritually, physically, whatever the case may be. I contend that Jesus Christ, if he is reached out to in faith, he brings deliverance. Amen. And everybody that's experienced it, they say, come. Come, it's free. Without money and without price. If you're here today, listen, whatever circumstance you're in, you might say, well, today's just not a good time for me. Well, it wasn't a good time for her either. But she heard that this is the answer, that this is the way, and she pressed through her circumstances, and she reached out to Jesus. And you today, you need to reach through your circumstances and reach out to Jesus. And there may be a lot of things, obstacles, problems, difficulties in your life that's surrounding you, that's keeping you from the Lord. Listen, get to Jesus. Whatever it is, push it away. Press through them and get to the Lord today. As we stand, is there someone who needs a divine touch?